Right, in the book of Titus, chapter 2. You remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about this and this chapter, and we read the first part there, the first verse of chapter 2. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he starts laying out here the order of things. Things that speak sound doctrine are things where people are in their rightful place in God's order. God has an order for the home, for the church, for society, for us as human beings. We all have our place. It changes as we go through life. Some here tonight are children. Some are small children. Some are young people that are still at home with their parents. Some are parents of young children, parents of older children. Some of us are older folks. And so there's a place mentioned here for everybody. Last time we talked about the aged men. Now they're to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and in patience. And then in verse 3, we'll just talk a few minutes tonight about the aged women. He said, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now we covered two there, but we're not going to cover all that tonight. The aged women, let's talk about them for a few minutes here. How are they supposed to be? Are they supposed to be any certain way? Well, yeah. Don't you think God, when he inspired Paul to write these words, this is the word of God, that he chose his words carefully like he always did in the whole Bible, and that he only said what was really important? I mean, what he says is most important. The things that he pointed out here, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So those are things where the aged women are most likely to err. There's a strong connection made here between the older women and the younger women. And that's not made between the older men and the younger men. Do you see that? The older men are to be sober. But it doesn't say much about teaching the young men how they're to be. The older men are an example, sure. But the older men, the requirements given for them, the orders, instructions, whatever given for them, are a little different than the aged women. The aged women are to do this that they may teach the younger women. The older women are an example to the younger women in a greater respect than the men are to the younger men. There's a lot of difference between men and women. You know, we've talked about this so much, and it's more than meets the eye. It's more than what you see on the surface or perceive on the surface. There's a great difference in the way they think, the way God made us and wired us up. Men are different than women. I remember saying something when we were preaching here a while back on one of those series, and I can't even remember right at this moment which one it was, but I said this. I said, a woman is, but a man has to become. And I know a lot of people, some people were offended at that because they don't understand. And some people just don't get it because they ain't listening. Some people don't care because they're not interested. But it's a fact. A man has to become a man. He has to prove it. A woman doesn't. She just becomes a woman. That's right. She ain't got nothing to prove. She don't have to prove nothing. A man has to qualify, whatever. That's why all cultures, just about everywhere, have some kind of writ of manhood, for lack of any better words. There's a point where a young boy passes that he's considered a man from then on. Well, Older women have more influence over the young women than the old men have over the young men. Now, you've got to think about that for a little bit, but that's the way it is. And so, therefore, the example they set is very important. The older women, their language, their conversation, their demeanor toward other people, their priorities, their opinions will be reproduced in the young women whose lives they touch. Older women influence younger women, and they try to. Older women have a much more of a, they're much more prone to this. They actively try to influence the younger women to go this way, to go that way, to do this, to do that. You know, to dress a certain way, to wear their makeup or wear it a certain way. You know, all of these things. To act a certain way, to think a certain way, to have their feminist philosophies and opinions. Women that are feminist, and that's nothing but a rebellious woman. That's what a feminist is. She's rebellious against God. She's rebellious against where God put her in God's creation. She hates, really, God, and she hates everything to do with any kind of order that He set. That's what a feminist really is. And so they are really bent on influencing younger women to be like them. They shame them. They insult them. If they show any sign of trying to conform to the Word of God and the order that God set things up to be. So there's this instruction to the aged women. Their language and their conversation. And, you know, women have a tendency to be more easily influenced and led by another woman than they are by a man. That's a fact. Women follow other women easier than they follow other men. That's why all the women's ministries nowadays. That's why all the women preachers. Who fills the pews of the churches most now? Women. So naturally, we're going to have women preachers because women will listen to women more than women will listen to men. And especially in a rebellious generation of feminism where they've taken over the high places everywhere. And so you're a idiot, you're a scumbag, you're a lowlife, you're not worth anything if you're a woman and you don't go along 100% with their feminists. Rebellious, man-hating ways. Amen. A feminist is a man-hater. That's right. They want to, what's the word? Misogamy? What? I can't ever say it right. This is something that come along after I got out of school. They, you know, they invented a lot of words and started using them. That means woman-hater. Well, I don't see that's such a big problem. I see the problem we got is man-haters. Female man-haters. They need a word for that. I don't know. So I don't know what it is, but they need a word for that that needs to be in the news. And it needs to be, we need to have one of them kind of movements instead of Me Too movement. Yeah. Set things in order. Speak those things which become sound doctrine. That's what we're talking about here. This old idea of these old feminist women teaching the young women in the church and the girls to be man-haters and rebels needs to be thrown out of the churches. In fact, you know, women have a tendency to be more influenced by another woman than another man, but in fact, they tend to seek out women to imitate or follow. That, again, that's why people like Beth Moore and all of these are so popular. Women love it. They absolutely love it. They go bananas over these women's ministries like this. And that's why there's so many of them. And that's why they're so popular. It's the women that are seeking them out and promoting them. This is not wrong of itself that a woman should be, you know, should seek out another woman to follow and take advice from and all of that. But if the older women are not godly and do not behave themselves as holy women like we just read here in the scripture, the younger women will be misled. See? You younger women and you girls ought to seek out older women in a church somewhere. In the churches. You'll find them in the churches. You ain't going to find them wandering about in the hills and hollows. You'll find them in the churches, but they'll be as scarce as hen's teeth. Who can find a virtuous woman? Well, you can find them, but they're rare. You got to seek for them. And you need to seek for that. Just because a woman's older don't mean she's qualified to be an example to you, to teach you, to influence your opinions, your thinking. No, because the church is full of older, messed up women. Amen. As well as men. But we're talking about the women tonight. You know, we talked about the aged men last time. We're talking about the aged women now. We don't have to give equal time now tonight to the men. We're talking about the aged women and what God said, how they're supposed to behave. So that it'll become sound doctrine. So that it'll prove that this is really of God. She'll suffer because of it. You know, these older women. She'll suffer because of it, and so will her husband and her children and everyone else that her life touches. All right, now that they be in behavior, oh my goodness, can you tell I'm tired? That they be in behavior as becometh holiness, holy. How does a woman, an older woman, how does she manifest holiness? How do you see holiness in her life? Well, there's a lot of different ways. Let me just name a few. Nothing is more unbecoming to an older woman than to be profane. That's the opposite of holy. They're one of the signs of the collapse of a society, the imminent collapse of a society, is when the women become profane. I read the other day, it was something like this. It said if women only understood the strategic importance of their position as mothers for the future generations, they would sober up and take their job seriously. There's nothing more unbecoming than a profane woman of any age. An older woman who behaves herself, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. You're not going to look at her and see a 60-year-old woman trying to dress and paint herself up and act like a 20-year-old. That ain't holy. No, it speaks of unholiness and profaneness. If she's profane in her language. You don't have to cuss to be profane. You don't have to talk dirty to be profane. Just crude and without discretion. Saying words that are just vain and foolishness, and that's very unbecoming to an older woman. You just expect more from an older woman who's lived a life and raised a family and had a husband and been in church and claimed to be a Christian all of her life. You just expect more out of a woman when she gets older than that. In her clothing, holy. She's supposed to. In her behavior as becometh holiness. Well, how she dresses herself is going to say a lot. Your clothes say it for you. Mm-hmm. It's really pitiful to see an older woman trying to dress in a way to be sexy. Or to be flamboyant, you know, just to show off. What does the Bible say about how women are supposed to dress? What's that word?
Modest.
Modest apparel. That women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Reasonable. Just dress nice. But But don't be trying to be something that you're not. By dressing yourself in a way to try to identify, try to make everybody think you're younger. Yeah, a woman should age gracefully. Everybody should. Men too. But there's just not, you know, it just seems to me, I see men doing the same thing. But it's, I see more women. They just can't stand. I've known women, I've known them, and I know them, who they swore that they would never have a gray hair. They ain't going to let nobody see no gray hair on them. And if the store closes and they run out of dye, everybody's going to see nothing but gray hair on them. Because that's what they are. You know, they get old and I don't care how much caulk you put on your face, it's still, everybody's going to be able to tell. I seen a picture here, it's been a few years ago, and I don't even remember the woman's name. It was her name, Joan Collins. She's a movie star, but from way back there. But he had showed this picture of her, and her face looked just like it always did. You know, whatever. But they made a big mistake. They didn't do like the Facebook selfies and just cut it off right here or right here. You know, they showed her neck and stuff, and it looked like a lizard from right about here on down. Her face was smooth as a baby's bottom with all that paint and caulk. But her neck, where she stopped painting and plastering, it looked like an alligator's skin. It was looked like the 90-year-old woman that she was. Looked like that's what was. I don't know what the deal about Dolly Parton is. Everywhere I've turned all the last week or two, it's her. I don't know what's going on. What's the deal? Is it her birthday or something? Or is it, has it been 100 years since she's born already? But they was making fun of her because she won't age gracefully. And then none of them will. Look at all these celebrities and movie stars and singers. They tried. I mean, they... You know, years ago they said Elizabeth Taylor had so many facelifts that her belly button was in the middle of her forehead. And that's about how it is. You know, they look like the Joker. They all look like the Joker on Batman. You know, their faces and their mouths are turned up here. It's all freakish looking and unnatural. And it's not becoming. You know, God's aged women should not look like that at all. They don't have to just be ugly and let themselves go. Why should you be ashamed of your gray hair? Bible says that the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. That goes for women and men both. Ain't no gender mentioned there. It's a crown. I mean, why would you want to hide it? Why would you be ashamed of it? And ever so often, the foolish fashion world comes back around. I told you a week or two ago, I think I seen somewhere where that's the fashion now. All the young women are wanting to turn their hair gray now, frosted. Well, they were doing that back in the 60s. I remember that. Frosting your hair, that was the thing then, making it look like you're half gray-headed, salt and pepper. Well, that went away, and then it's stupid, and you don't want to ever show nobody no gray hair, even if you're 95. And that's back in again. So I say, don't pay no attention to them. Don't pay no attention to the fashion world. God fixed it so our hair turns gray as we get older. Most of us. Now, some people don't. I've seen a few people that don't. My grandma didn't have very much gray hair, did she? Uncle Don, he didn't until the very end there. He didn't have very many gray hairs. Don't happen to everybody. But generally it does, don't it? Yeah. Well, in her clothing, in her reputation, becometh holiness. Ought to behave herself in a way that becometh holiness in her reputation. Everybody has a reputation. It's a name that everybody knows. They identify you by. Gossip, foolish, silly, mean, grouch. Mm-hmm. So your reputation ought to speak of holiness. Well, that would be, Here's along the lines of what I would think about somebody that encourages. I mean, the whole deal is that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Think about what kind of a person she would be who would encourage the young women to do those things. They wouldn't say such things as, don't you let him do that to you. Don't you let him make you do that. And don't you listen to him. And you don't have to do. Would an old woman that's holy tell a young woman that kind of stuff? And fester rebellion in... And I'm not talking about somebody that's being mistreated and all that. But I've been around. I've heard this junk all my life. And I've sat and watched these old heifers destroy marriages and homes and lives and children with their long gossiping tongues and their big mouth and their no small brain and their evil heart. And that's why the Bible says these things here. You ought to teach these things. He said, go set them in order. Teach them these things. In her thinking, what kind of thinking is an older woman, an older godly Christian woman in the church, what's her thinking going to be like? Reckon she's just going to be caught up in Christian novels and TV shows and movies, all the latest movies and romances, and is she going to be thinking in that kind of realm? Well, if she is, she ain't going to be much of a help to the younger women in teaching them to love their husbands and to love their children and to be keepers at home and to be happy and full of joy. She ain't going to be able to teach them that if that's the kind of mind she's got. A woman who's not holy never sees herself as others see her, that's for sure. A woman who's profane and immoral has the same effect on people as finding a cockroach in the food at the salad bar or something disgusting like that. You know, just think about it. It really is. A fair woman that is without discretion is as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Now see, the Bible says that. So I didn't say anything really outrageous there. I just said that a profane woman is like finding something nasty in something that's supposed to be good and pure and clean. She never thinks of herself that way, though. But she thinks that others are desiring her. I'm talking about a woman that's not holy. She doesn't see herself the way other people see herself. You girls need to listen to this. All you women need to listen to this. I mean, I don't see you doing this, but don't ever do this. You know, women do not understand that other people don't see them the way they see them. A woman will dress herself up all sexy and then go out in public and flash herself around. And you know, she's got one idea in her mind of what everybody's thinking, and the reality is something completely different. If you knew what people were really thinking of you, you wouldn't do that. You'd dress modestly. And you'd act and in behavior holy instead of profane. It's profane to do that. The only ones who do desire, and older women are doing this stuff. Older women are trying to act like some 25-year-old young movie star or something. Or model. Everything's model now. That just means they go naked or wear a bikini. That's what a model is nowadays. They don't model clothes. They model nakedness. Yeah! What is a model? Model. Instagram model. I guarantee you, she's not modeling long dresses. She's modeling nakedness. That's what she is. Yeah. And she thinks that everybody thinks she's really something. But everybody don't think she's really something. She brings herself down and degrades herself. And all this stuff I hear women talking about being objectified. You look at me like I'm an object. Well, quit acting like one. Quit doing it to yourself. Quit trying to make your naked body the only thing you got to attract attention to yourself. What in the world? Ain't you got no brains? Ain't you got no personality? Ain't you got anything to say or do that's worthwhile besides strip naked in front of everybody to get them to look at you? Boy, women would kill me for saying that. But somebody needs to say it. Because that's just the flat truth. The only ones who desire these older women who act like this are the ones who don't mind the disgusting junk. What a terrible example they are to young women. Now, holiness means purity or integrity of moral character. It means freedom from sin. Holiness does. Now, that's just what it means. The aged women are to be examples of moral purity and integrity to the young women. That means a lot. You know, a woman needs to be honest just as much as a man needs to be honest. The words they say need to be true. Yes, sir. And honest. And straightforward. They don't need to have like the woman whose heart is snared. He said, I found more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets. Who's always a conniving and always a twisting words and a using words. And, well, I go on and on with all that. But holiness means purity and integrity of moral character. The aged women are to be examples of moral purity and integrity. They should have learned by this point in their lives the many snares and pitfalls that are out there for women, and especially young women. Somebody your age ought to be able to tell somebody Anna's age something that would help her. Yes. To be happy. Yes. To find the right kind of husband. To be the right kind of wife. The right kind of mother. They're to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. And to do all that makes for a happy life for her and for everybody else. And that'll raise children that'll be happy people and good people and godly people that'll be able to do the same thing again. They should be wise enough in their old age not to be swooned by some smooth talker. There's nothing more disgusting to me than to watch these old women on Facebook chasing after the men on Facebook. Some man loses his wife and a widower, and it's just like a gaggle of ducks after him. I've watched it. They just make absolute fools of themselves. Do they not understand that other people look at that and laugh at them and think, oh, you so foolish woman? Do they not? Nope. That's what I said a while ago. They don't perceive themselves. They don't see themselves like other people see them. Aged women shouldn't act like that. God says, no, don't, you're not to act like that. And behavior is becometh holiness. They shouldn't. They ought to be mature enough so that, you know, they ain't acting like that, like some silly schoolgirl. Their thoughts and conversation should be around things that are holy and right. It's encouraging to me to get around an older man that his conversation is holy and right. It helps me. So I'm sure that it would be encouraging and helpful to a young woman to be around an older woman that would reassure her that God's way is the best way. And that would speak right things to her. And encourage her in that way. They should behave as aged women and not trying to present themselves as young women by their appearance and their language. You know, I just don't think, and of course I might as well just blow the whole deal, but I just don't, you know, I've been around churches a lot through all these years, been around, I was in, and you know, all these things that women do. And I don't see none of them measuring up to what I read in this one little verse in the Bible. What they like to do is they like to get all the women together and get on a bus and go somewhere to some meeting where some woman will teach them how to go home and manipulate their husbands.
True.
We used to have that. She'd get on a bus with them and go, come back, and buddy, we'd had trouble till we got it ironed out, because she'd come back all armed with all these tricks and nonsense that they, somebody, had put in their heads of how to make everything wonderful at home. And all it amounted to was manipulating your husband to make him do this and make him do that. And it was all a bunch of foolish nonsense. Didn't have nothing to do with faithfulness and steadfastness in the ways of God. Didn't have nothing to do with being honest and pure and true. This had to do with stupid stuff, like doing things and saying things and making things, and just like the foolish world does, trying to buy their children's love with toys and lavishing them with fancy, expensive gadgets and gifts. And they hate them for it. And that's the way it works in marriages too. You got to love one another. You got to submit one to another. You got to respect one another, or it ain't going to work. And the older women ought to be teaching the younger women to do that, instead of wanting to go partying all the time somewhere away from everybody else. Get all the women together and get them away from all their husbands and their children so they can go off somewhere and have a wonderful, fun time. Well, that ain't in the Bible. In fact, that's against what I see in the Bible. And that's why it causes so much trouble. And that's why that all through the years we've seen so many people in the churches that we've been in divorce, and their children go to the devil, and a bunch of them turn out to be sodomites even because of this nonsense of things not being in order. Aged women, aged men, aged women, they got a lot to do with this. God holds them accountable first. The aged men, the aged women. They should be right, and they should be setting the right example. They should have their act together by the time they get old and sitting in a church pew where the young people are looking at them and are listening to them and are watching them. Well, aged women, by now their children are grown and their responsibilities and burdens of the home have diminished. And they're not so caught up with cares and anxiety about what's going to happen to their kids and what's going to happen to in the future. They're at an old age. They should be settled down and not so busy anymore and not so overwhelmed like some of you are now with all the little children and everything. When you get older, you settle down. Your mind, you ought to be able to keep your mind together more. You ought to sit around and think about things you can do to encourage the young women and help them. You ought to remember how hard it was for you. You young women need to be marking it now, how hard it is, and the things you got to struggle with. Some of these days, there'll be some young woman that you can help by just encouraging her. I thought of something else, but I won't say it. The aged women, they're not to be false accusers. Now, he put that in there. I didn't. So it says, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers. Now, why would old women do that? Well, it must be a thing. Why'd God put it in the Bible? Why did he just randomly pull out something to lay on these old women and say, well, tell them not to do that? No, because it's a thing. It's an issue. It's an issue with older women. False accusers. There must be a common tendency for women, and in particular older women, because it's one of the few things mentioned in these important instructions about setting things in order and the older women in their place. The word there means slanderer or accuser. Same word used for Satan as the accuser of the brethren. When the Bible speaks of him being the accuser of the brethren, that means he's a slanderer. Remember, we talked about David a couple of weeks ago and slander, and here's what it means. It means to defame, to injure by maliciously uttering a false report respecting another person. To tarnish or impair the reputation of one by false tales, maliciously told or propagated. Now, does that sound like another word you know? Gossip. Who is commonly known to gossip more than any other station in life? What's the first kind of people? Old men, old women, young men. Which is the one that comes to mind first when you talk about gossip? If I say gossip, which one of them comes to mind? Old women. That's why it says that. Old women tend to gossip because they got more time on their hands. Oh, they know more people by now. They just... Bless her heart. I remember Granny. Boy, I'm telling you, nothing would excite her more than hearing something about somebody. Now, I hate to say it, but I mean, that's the truth. It wasn't just her. That's common among older women. The party lines used to be something else. Really? When old women, and you know, back then we didn't have our devices that we can text and message and all of that stuff. If you talked to somebody, you dialed up the phone and talked to them on the phone. When you did that, old women spent a lot of time gossiping. What do you mean? Talking about other people. Talking about how wonderful they were and all the good things they were doing and what a blessing they were. No. That's not what interests older women that are not behaving in a manner that becometh holiness. They like to talk about who's doing something dirty, who said something about so-and-so. Yeah. I remember the deacon at the church, it's a story I heard, and this woman was a terrible gossip. And she seen his truck parked down at the, or seen a truck like his parked in front of the liquor store, and so she got on the phone and told everybody, you know, old Deacon so-and-so's truck's parked down there by the liquor store. Well, it really wasn't. Or either it was and he wasn't in there, he had some other deal going there, but he wasn't guilty of it. So he just took his truck and parked it in front of her house and left it all night. The problem took care of itself. How? How do you think that word got around that his truck was in front of her house? The same gossips that she had gossiped to. Not false accusers. They shouldn't be that way. They shouldn't do that kind of stuff. They ought to speak the things which becometh holiness. Yes, they should. They should speak. If you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. That's right. So older women have more time on their hands. Since their children are grown, they've learned to manage their household responsibilities more efficiently. Most of them do. By the time they get old, they get it down a little better. Yeah. When you're young, you just don't. Most of them don't. A lot of them don't. Amen? I didn't say all. But they just have a hard time keeping their act together. But by the time they've raised a bunch of children and they've battled it all their life, by the time they get old, when the children leave, it's like a big, whew, you know, washing the clothes ain't such a big deal. You know, cooking the meal ain't such a big deal. Doing the dishes, keeping everything in order, not such a big deal. You can do it. There's just so much I'm thinking about saying, but I'm just, you know, I've already said enough to cause enough people to have enough problems, so I just won't do it. I'll just try to finish up here. They've learned how to take care of stuff, so there's more time to talk about other people and think about other people, and there's plenty to talk about, but that's the subject that will dominate unless a woman is godly enough to steer away from it on purpose. You hear me? Men are like that too. I'm not saying that's just women that do that. No, I ain't dumb. I know men do the same thing, but God didn't say nothing about that to the older men. There was more important things he had to point out to them. He didn't give a long list of stuff here for the men and the women and all that. He just named a few little things that are real important. And he named this for the older women. So, if you can't take it, that's your problem. That's what he said. Women need to work on this. If you're a Christian woman and you're older, you need to focus on not being a false accuser, not saying bad things about other people. And you're not, and before, you know, if you'll concentrate on not thinking evil, then you won't be speaking evil. And if you'll cut off those others that want to tell you everything like that, then you won't be thinking it. Don't listen to gossip. Mark it off of your list of things you do. I'm not going to do it because the Bible says not to, right there. Tells older women not to gossip. Don't you think that's a good enough reason not to do it? I think there's plenty of reason to resolve not to do it. So it's an extremely bad example to younger women when older women gossip and talk about other people. You don't know how bad that influences the younger women. I'm telling you. You don't know how bad that affects them and how that's going to turn their life. That'll have a great effect on their life. It really will. It develops. You're sowing a seed in them that develops into very ugly things later on in life. It's poison in their minds and hearts and causes them to develop bitterness and suspicions toward everybody and become a bitter and unpleasant old woman someday. That's what you're doing, old woman, elderly, aged woman, whenever you gossip, and especially to the younger women when you show that example to them. The aged women are not to be given to much wine. Well, that means they can drink a little bit. Is that what it means? It means they can drink a little, but not a lot. Oh, yeah, sure. The lesson to take from this is to consider what they would be like if they were given too much wine. What is an old woman? What does she look like when she's drunk? Well, I know some. I know some that have lost their teeth now. They look like their face is made out of leather. Their voice is all rough and raspy. They got a smell about them. Not pleasant. You don't want to be like that. What behaviors does she manifest when wine is in control of her? I mean, think about it with me here. We're talking about how an old woman is to behave. God said, the godly women in the church, how are they to behave? Holiness. Now he's talking about wine. Well, what does an old drunk woman act like? Well, just like an old drunk man. Revelry and loud and foolish singing and laughing and talking. You know, I always heard the saying when I was young, a woman that'll smoke will drink, and a woman that'll drink will do anything. That's how everybody understood things. And it was right. And it was pretty well, it's one of them things just right on the mark. Why would an old woman want to drink? Why would an old woman want to have whiskey, vodka? Why would she want to have beer in her house and drink it? How does it look to see an aged woman drinking her beer? My goodness. And there's Christians, so-called, all around us that are justifying it and defending it now. She becometh... in behavior, be in behavior as becometh holiness. I don't believe that fits there. Do you? No. She ought to leave the stuff alone. Right. What does she need it in any for? Anyway, what do you need it to cook for? You guys, what do you need it for to cook? It don't work good, does it? Nah. Is it worth that? Well, a recipe calls for it. Who's going to go to the liquor store and buy it? Huh? And what are you going to do with the rest of it? Hide it in your cabinet? Right. Who's going to find it? It's always going to be there for you to take a nip now and then. Proverbs 23, verse 33. Here's what it says about it. Men, when referring to men, thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Where do old foolish women who drink go? And what are they looking for when they go there? Bars? Yeah. Same thing. That's what they're looking for. You understand. You'll do and say perverse and unclean things under the influence of alcohol. That's good enough reason right there to not touch the stuff. How can anybody justify? Well, the Bible don't say you can't drink none. Why would you want to drink any?
That's right. Yes, sir.
How about one verse? Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Right.
That cuts it right there. It is definitely associated with evil and all kinds of junk. It's the cause of broken homes and beat up women and murdered women and children. And there's no end to the destruction of this thing, alcohol. And then people want to claim Christian liberty to drink it. Well, I'll tell you what my opinion is. I don't believe a person that would defend sinful, ungodly, harmful things like liquor. I don't believe they've got an ounce of the Holy Ghost of God in them. Her behavior is to be void of these kind of things. You ain't going to see that in an aged woman that's godly, whose behavior becometh holiness. So she needs to stay away from the wine and anything else that might lead her to doing such things. Old women shouldn't be on Valium and nerve pills and, you know, all that stuff. I believe God will give you, will steal your heart if you're walking with Him and trusting Him. The aged women are to be teachers of good things, it says. That's pretty simple. They're not to teach the young women bad things.
Yes.
I didn't even go to Bible school. Teachers of good things. Well, that means not bad things. You shouldn't teach bad things to the young women or anybody else. Yeah. Load up your mind, load up your heart, load up your tongue with good things to say. Good things to think. Set a good example to the younger people under you. Give good advice. Give good encouragement. Speak good things. They should have enough sense by this time in their lives to be able to have some discretion and discernment and some prudence about the things they teach and encourage the young women to do. Now, I know that I'm still on the journey and all this, but I know by taking my bearings from where I was and where I am now, I can see that I've come a long way in being aware of the things I say and do in front of children, other people, about doing the right thing, saying the right thing, being careful about not saying certain things. There's things I used to would say. I won't say them now because because of the bad influence it is, the bad things it might produce in their thoughts, in their life, the direction it might push them to think, I'm aware, more aware. Well, by the time you get to be an old woman, there ought to be some wisdom there in your words, in your actions. You shouldn't be fighting for your rights as a woman. You shouldn't be trying to show everybody that you can do it just like anybody else by the time you get old.
That's right.
that all that foolish, sinful nonsense ought to be worked out of you. They should teach them good things. Things that will help them to be a better wife, a better mother. And things that will help them to sow for a better harvest when they're old. Old women ought to have enough wisdom to realize and to remember when they were young and how they wouldn't listen when some old grouchy woman would scold them and criticize them. And they ought to understand how to give advice, how to influence younger people without having that. There's ways you can say things, do things. A lot of times you just don't say nothing. I don't, because if you ain't going to listen, I ain't going to waste my breath on you. I ain't going to cast my pearls out there for you to trample them if you won't listen. Things that I've learned the hard way, and I could save you some heartache and trouble. But if you ain't going to listen, I ain't going to tell you. Just go ahead and step in it yourself. And then when you come crying later, I'll say, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I did it too. Older women ought to be wise in being able to counsel and influence and help. That's the whole thing. To help the young people. So that it, you know, everybody in this generation, they wanted their children to have it easier than they did. Well, that's a noble thing, and it's kind of what I'm talking about here. But it's not the same as the world making it so their children don't have to work as hard, and so life's less painful for them, and all of that, and they don't have to struggle. Now that's bad for them. But to help you in spiritual matters and to help you in things, you know, mistakes that soil and ruin a marriage, older women can save the lives of young women by being right. By living right, thinking right, talking right. By being right with God themselves and being wise from all the years they've lived, they can be a great help and save some young couple from a boatload of sorrow and heartache and hurt that'll influence their children. I mean, you help somebody. You help some young couple, some family, some young woman. You don't know how much help you're giving as that thing progresses. Her children, her, as she gets older and the influence and the things of their, you don't know how much difference you're going to make. It ain't just a one thing that you just tell her something makes her feel good right now. It might change the course of countless lives. If the aged women would just be what God means for them to be, and aged men would be what God means for them to be, if there wasn't so much foolishness, if there wasn't so much vanity, and wasn't so much pride and worldliness mixed in, boy, where could the churches go in this thing? But anyway, that's just a few words that God said there. And next time we do get to this, it'll be the young women, but it'll be what the older women are supposed to teach the young women. So it's kind of connected here. All right, well, let's stand. Everybody ought to be glad for every season of life they're in. Bible talks about the youth. Young man, rejoice in the days of thy youth. Go ahead and rejoice. It's your youth. When you're strong, when you got all, that's a season of life. When you get old, you shouldn't be an old grouch. You shouldn't be dissatisfied and depressed and just mean. You ought to be a blessing and a help. That ought to be the harvest, the fruitful time of your life when you got something to give that's worth more than money and worth more than things. To be a blessing. Well, I've known some older people, men and women, who were just a real blessing. And it wasn't the things they had to give. It was just what they were. And I'm talking about the ones I've known that measured up to what I'm reading right here. When I think of them, I think of the things that God just said right here. Yeah. Don't you think an older woman ought to be sweet? Yeah. Don't you think she ought to be real?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Ain't no phoniness, no fakery, no hypocrisy, just real. Sure be a blessing to the young people. All right, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Pray you'd bless it to our hearts now. Please go with us now and help us to get home safely tonight. Please watch over us through the week. Please help us to be a witness to others that are out there. Lord, work in our lives and help us in these things. And Lord, help us to realize we're all on a journey. We're all moving along here. And we have these things to look forward to. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to those behind us and those in front of us. We love you and we thank you for the wisdom you give in Jesus' name. Amen.